Welcome to the Midwest Scrubcast. I'm Emily Rastel, and I'll be your pilot for the party bus today. Joining us in the gunner slot is Clint AC Face Houston.
Pew pew, and hello. Joining us in the crew slot, in Buck. I imagine he's in one of those bucket seat, or not a bucket seat, but a seat from a school bus.
Like a bench seat thing?
Yeah, like a bench seat, from a school bus.
No seat belt.
No seat belt at all.
Someone has picked a hole to where the fluff is starting to come out.
Yeah, that's where the Midwest Scrub himself, Dan Peterson, sits. Or maybe it could be one of those school buses that had seat belts on it. They did that for a little while.
Did they? So I actually saw a news article the other day that I didn't read because I don't read news articles, about a school bus that tipped over on the highway and several children died. And it was I don't understand why we still don't have seat belts on school buses.
Cheaper.
Sure.
You had to start the podcast out that way.
Wow.
It's cheaper, sure, but I guess killing kids is cheaper.
That's an interesting way to phrase it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a rationale outside of just
two things,
cost cutting.
Yeah, two reasons in my thought. First is cost cutting. Mm-hmm. Second is who enforces that? Because the bus driver has to get people to school, and corralling, I assume parents, just corralling 2 to 3 kids to get them to all have their seatbelts on is a thing.
Yeah.
And then when you get to, we'll say 30, I don't know how many fit on a school bus. I was on them, but I never counted the people. But we'll say 30. Uh-huh. And then, some kids are turds. So, by the time you got back to the front, they would have already taken it off and would be standing up to challenge your authority.
Okay. So that's fine and that's great. And that's a fair point. However, you could give the kids options of not dying.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's if some kid wants to be a cool kid and not have a seatbelt on,
that's on them.
That's on them,
Hashtag, seatbelts on school buses. I didn't mean to derail us this way,
honestly,
but this is where we went. So,
let's
get a petition going. Seatbelts on school buses.
There's this weird thing, I don't know if this is the case here, but it might be if they have seatbelts, they are now liable for kids not being in seatbelts because there are things the internet is the Wild West still, but forums, this is stupid how it worked out, but I believe how it works out is that if you have a forum and you don't moderate it, you're not liable for anything that's on it. So, because that's just people coming and posting, it's okay, and, you haven't moderated it, sure, whatever. But as soon as you start to moderate it, you have now approved that content in some extent.
Yeah.
So, if you assume this is part of the reason why a lot of, places have let forums go by the wayside. I mean, there's the advent of Discord and stuff like that. That helps. But once you start moderating something, you're liable
for
what
stop.
You really have to knuckle down and actually moderate. So by creating the possibility, maybe
of seatbelts,
they have now made themselves liable. That's just a guess. That's me spitballing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just reading things on my phone, playing intern over here. It looks like basically the justification is, the seats are super padded and high. So the kids are sitting in these padded cushioned, seats and and also the bus is, really big and, it's not likely to get,
It's going to be the one that's pushing stuff out of the way.
They still require truckers to wear seatbelts.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm not saying it's a valid justification.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying the justification, which to my mind is still valid, is a combination between, well, you know, they're already padded, you know, they're already like padded and like, and then the yeah. other thing, the other thing cited was like, well, there aren't that many, you know, school bus fatalities.
That's what comes into my mind, Clint, is the bus rolling.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
The,
yeah.
The slightly that's, more I padded feel, seats yeah. are not going to help much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what yeah. would help though? Is if every kid got their own little like bungee chair, okay. like, you so like take all the seats out of a school bus, right? Mm-hmm. And then so imagine this, all right? Mm-hmm. Picture this in your head, okay. all right, Dan?
Do it. Yep. Do
and
it.
Everybody else along with me. Mm-hmm. All right. Uh-huh. So take all the seats out of a school bus and then you put a bunch of like suspended chairs that are like on like four-way bungee cables, right? And so they're all like little bouncy chairs, like you know how you put the baby in, like the little bouncy mm-hmm. chair.
Mm-hmm. So you're still strapping them in, the problem yeah. that we've already we can't strap people
but
in.
We are strapping them in, but this is what I'm saying. One, we're strapping them in, and two, when the thing goes a rolling, mm-hmm. everyone's just sitting there going just bouncing around and flailing around.
And maybe somebody's gonna puke, but why?
Yeah.
That's about it.
But otherwise, I think the kids would probably fight against it less because they get to sit in a bouncy chair,
right?
You know? I mean, and who doesn't like to be sitting in a bouncy chair like an infant strapped into a weird straddle
car
seat?
Car sickness and buses worse? I feel like that would make car sickness.
I mean, if you're prone to car sickness, I suppose.
I imagine.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm thinking about this because I am prone to car sickness, uh-huh. so I would be puking all over the place in this bouncy bus.
Why not suspend them in an oxygen-rich gelatin? And not like Jell-O. I mean, that's too thin. You want sure. something thicker.
All right, but
oxygen rich, so just in case they have, you know, they dive too far in, they can breathe it.
Uh-huh.
This is
I feel like this is going to be really super messy, right? And could you imagine the number of book bags, pens, pencils, and cell phones that would get lost?
You're like looking down the back of the bus, and there's just a bunch of pencils that are like, oh man! And kids would just be—you'd be playing with it, playing
constantly.
With them. Because yeah. I remember like taking a pencil to erasers and poking the eraser, so mm-hmm. you'd be poking.
If you had big giant gel that you just stuck yourself in,
yeah. Okay, so what if so? How about we just fast forward into the future, and then we have, you know,
we just
like
teleport
anti gravity chambers.
No,
you
let's
know, in,
just
like
teleport the children at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, teleportation gonna comes after like
after anti grav.
Sure.
Yeah, so they're just suspended
we
in the air.
Anti grav first. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we just develop a catapult and launch the children to school, and that's where we have the oxygen-rich gelatin, and
yes.
they just landed.
They landed, yeah.
I don't know how you get them home, but
the calculations would be rough, though. And if you're off?
Yeah. Ooh, man, and the wind is heavy that day.
Yeah, no, it'd be no good. It'd be no good. But if we catapulted them in one of those, like, gerbil balls?
that's the solution for inside the bus.
It's gerbil balls.
Because
you're inside of a gerbil ball that's inside of a little suspended seat.
Yeah.
Well, you don't even have to be suspended. They could roll around freely at that point. So if it tumbles, you're like, well, whatever.
Just put a little padding in that gerbil ball.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of the air ones that, like, I've never seen one in person, but I've seen, like, videos of people in parks in, you know, just air pads.
The poofy ones.
They
okay.
are their own padding. And, uh-huh. you know, the kids run into each other. Also, you don't have to worry about, like, this kid picking on other kid because
it also gets out more energy along the way.
Oh,
so
there
they'll
you
be
go
more
too.
Tired when they get to school and sleep more. So that'd be good.
Situation solved.
Yep, we did it.
But, okay, so going back to why they don't have seatbelts in the first place, like, because you mentioned that, you know, that the buses will probably be the thing pushing other things out of the way because they're big and heavy. Clint mimed the rollover and uh-huh. Clint voiced it. But, like, I mean, they are pretty...
My name is Dan.
Who?
Dan.
Okay. but they are high, I would assume, pretty high center of gravity compared to most things. So rollover mm-hmm. would become... But also... You know what happens to be around school buses that are just about the same weight as a school bus? Another school bus. They are really, they tend to be around school buses pretty mm-hmm. often because they all go to the same place.
They
you know?
Do.
So mm-hmm. I would imagine.
And come from the same place.
A school bus hitting a school bus might be a thing that happens, you know?
Yeah.
They take out mirrors sometimes. I do know that. They take out each other's mirrors.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. Yeah.
Like as a prank, or do they actually hit each other?
No, I think they hit each other. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Hello.
But yeah, apparently,
So, with us in the snuggling department.
It's one of those hamster balls.
In fact.
Hamster ball Matt Carey.
Hamster ball Matt Carey. That's me. And I'll toss it back to the pilot of this bus.
that we don't have seatbelts on our bus because.
We do not.
You can't tell me what to do.
Well, I mean, it's a party bus.
It's my freedom. I don't think
buses do not come equipped with seatbelts, except for the driver. Emily is safe.
Emily has
for some reason. Yes, for some reason,
do not.
That's okay. All right, no. We're staying off the rails here for a second. What about like party limos? Why don't you have to wear seatbelts in those?
I wonder I wonder if you're supposed to. It's just nobody gets
pulled
over.
Nobody actually cares. Nobody, but the limo drivers wear one. Yeah,
they do. And the bus drivers wear one, which always was so weird to me.
Yeah, the bus
driver. The bus driver is strapped in. They're just like, yeah, screw those kids. Screw. Like,
They've got padded sides. They'll be fine.
Yeah, right. I'm in a big bus, so I will knock people out of the way.
But I want to know why I have to wear a seatbelt, but somebody partying in the back of an extended Hummer limo does not have to.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you
Hummer?
Am I looking up? Why do people in what are you doing?
do people in limos have to?
Yeah, are you looking this up?
Yeah, I'm looking this up.
Okay. So my assumption.
Dan.
All right. Before you go any farther,
okay.
Google. I'm looking up. Do people in a limo need to wear a seatbelt? Mm-hmm. And Google has only auto populated out to the people in a. And then it just has given me other stuff. Mm-hmm. And it is do people in a coma poop?
So
that
I
is a question that
almost
could be asked.
Guess no, because it's primarily just IV fluids that are going in,
diet,
so they probably pee a lot. So they have the catheter hooked up, but the pooping probably not. I would guess.
I would think if it's anything, it would be very liquidy stuff. But let's not talk about that.
Yeah. So, anyways. So my assumption about the bus driver being strapped in, and not the kids, I think probably the logic for that is if the bus gets bumped and would dislodge someone from the seat, the person that you absolutely do not want to be dislodged from their seat is the person at the wheel with the brakes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Sure. Well, and also, so, you know, part of the justification was, oh, the kids have padding in front and back. Yeah. Well, the bus driver doesn't have padding in front. He has a windshield. So, you know, you want to keep the bus driver from going out the windshield. So, you know, that makes sense. But it does seem, you know, why not, other than cost, you know, why not go with a little overkill and put some seatbelts on?
Okay. Right. This does not say what state, or even what government regarded. Mm-hmm. But passenger vehicles designed to seat more than 10 people aren't required to be fitted with seatbelts. Stretch limos, some kinds of party buses, specifically noted, can fall into that category.
Hmm.
So, we're just all on board for mass casualties is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Okay, so also one of the big things...
Well, you know, I haven't been on a big
Greyhound
giant... I was about to say, I haven't been on a big charter bus like a Greyhound bus.
Have you been on a bus recently?
Not in a long time.
I guess
not
in memory, if memory serves, I don't think I remember wearing a seatbelt on one of those.
I haven't...
But planes have seatbelts.
Well, that's because of turbulence.
So
they want you to put the seatbelt on for turbulence.
So the reason why is also the reason why I think that. So just seatbelts in general, I think you should use them. But the thing is,
you don't
want
to be flung from your vehicle.
Okay, so that's the thing is, it's like, okay, if you're just like, whatever, I'm going to take my life into my own hands. I'm not wearing a seatbelt. Cool, whatever. But people become projectiles. If you've ever, like there are, like, videos of people that have been in accidents that you get to see, just even small accidents, and see how much they careen into somebody else that has a seatbelt on. And it's just like, I wouldn't want to hit my head to Dan's going 2 miles per hour and... Like, if it gets violently shot at me for like at 20 miles an hour, you know, it's like we're gonna crack our heads, you know, that kind of thing. It's like watching that, it's like, yeah, I definitely wearing a seatbelt, if only so, you know, I don't become a projectile to somebody else in the car, you know, who has made the wise choice to wear a seatbelt and now they have to deal with it.
Okay, so but let me
let me counterpoint you here, though. So what happens whenever you get into an accident or a wreck? Your seatbelt locks, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, or whenever you just got to tug on it hard.
I was going to say,
your seatbelt locks, right? Yeah. So what happens if you go careening off a cliff and then you start drowning in a lake and your car is on fire all at the same time and you're locked in your seatbelt? How do you get out and save yourself?
You're supposed to have a
safety seatbelts
knife.
Kill people, not so, save lives.
I use the fire to burn through the seatbelt. I use the water to put out the fire.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, come on. You gave me all the tools, Clint.
You also take off your pants and like blow them up and then use that as an air hose underwater for a little bit.
Flotation device.
Mm-hmm. I was actually taught how to do that in Boy Scouts.
Yes, I well, not in Boy Scouts, but I was taught to do that as well.
Anyway, sorry, Matt. I didn't mean to derail you there.
From
again.
Why?
I did mean to derail you there, but, you know, I mean.
I was planning an entirely different derailment.
Nah, that's fine.
But.
We got this one, you know, out of the way.
Mm-hmm. We wound up with this one.
Yeah. All right. So,
Yeah, let's... that was mid-toss to you, so.
Yeah. So, welcome to an episode which unexpectedly turned out to be about seatbelts for some reason. What I wanted to discuss was the thing we were talking about right before we started recording, which is...
The waste of content?
Which is, what would it be like if you made a pie with orange slices instead of apple slices?
Yeah. I don't remember this conversation.
You were upstairs for the kolache conversation that we wasted. But we could go back to the kolache conversation.
Yeah. It was also content that wasn't orange peels.
Was there?
So there probably was. But anyway,
I don't remember. Anyway.
An orange pie.
Mm-hmm. An orange pie.
Not really sure.
So we were talking, so like, you know, I have a alcoholic beverage in front of me, and when I came down, it was assumed that it was the apple pie moonshine, except for Clint said orange.
I was like, oh, what you got over there, some orange juice? And I was like, I mean apple juice. My brain, you know, kind of went rough for a second.
And I was like, so it's apple pie moonshine. It's like, is there an orange pie moonshine? Is there such a thing as an orange pie?
Oh, we didn't look up to confirm it, Dan.
Yeah, we didn't ask the internet.
We're theorizing right now. So I
don't remember which of the two of you, but one of you suggested that we could make it like a key lime pie. It would be orange pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I stumbled upon, like, maybe it could be a cobbler of some sort, you know, because Clint said that it would probably cook down like a raspberry or something like that.
Yeah, if you threw like a bunch of oranges into a pot and, you know, put sugar on them, would it cook down into like a gelatin, you know, like a jam, like blueberries and stuff?
And so I do believe that orange jam or orange marmalade is a thing for sure. That might be made out of juice instead of actual pulp. I don't know.
So that's the reason why. Go ahead.
Sorry, there is an orange creamsicle moonshine.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sure.
It's made with orange juice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, also,
I have to make this.
But what about what pie? That's a drink.
I'm talking alcohol.
So we're talking about pie over here. We're trying to figure out if you can make an orange pie.
So my concern.
I take oranges, throw it in a pie, bake it.
My concern is that the membrane of the oranges would not cook down well enough that it would still be too tough.
And so, and then of course, there's the you could use orange zest, like the orange peel.
Well, sure, we're going with the key lime. I'm sure that's what the key lime pie is too.
You could use the juice or zest or the flavor of it, but not actually using the orange like itself. But I don't know.
Just give me the recipe.
The consistency would be really weird because because it's just juice inside of this membraney stuff.
Uh-huh. It's pulp. I mean, there's juice and pulp inside the membrane. And if you were talking about, if you were going to the very difficult process of like cutting open all the membranes and scooping out the pulp, then I would be on board. I would be like, oh yeah, you could make a pie out of that. Sure, it'd be kind of juicy. You'd probably need to like use a lot of thickener. Mm-hmm. It would probably have to be maybe more of like a jello pie or something, right? Like, you know, like I still don't know if it would be.
I do not want an orange jello pie. No,
I think you might get a soggy bottom with just orange pulp, but just because it's so juicy. But at least then there wouldn't be like weird chewy membranes. Like I'm concerned that if you simmered whole orange slices in a pie, that you would end up with like, you know, a lot of juice, you know, a lot of pulpy juice, but then also this layer of like
of just fibrous
membrane. Yeah.
Like, it would be a good way to get your fiber content for the day, though.
Sure, that it would.
So you brought up like you know marmalade, orange marmalade, mm-hmm. and you mentioned if it was just like fruit juice. Uh-huh. So the different names, so like jam. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm looking up a chart because I've seen this chart before. Mm-hmm. A jam is liquid with chopped or crushed fruit inside.
Yeah,
jam.
Preserves are often has small fruit or chunks of it within the like jelly spread.
Yeah.
A jelly is just a spreadable gel made with fruit juice.
Yeah, sure.
And then
fruit spreads are the best.
Fruit butter, I think, is what they're gonna call it. It's
fruit butter.
Uh-huh. Like apple butter.
Fruit puree. No yes. butter is actually added, it
says. Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about.
And then a curd typically has like a whipped egg in it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. And then sense. Marmalade, which is what you had mentioned, orange marmalade, tends to have fruit pulp and the rind in it.
So, okay.
Even the rind, so very fibrous.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So go back to the one before that, the curd one. Now that could be pretty good because it would be like
that would be closer.
It would
to
be
like
a meringue.
They'd be like a custard pie.
Yeah,
that could be pretty good.
That would be like a meringue of some sort. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are we turning these into alcoholic beverages?
I don't think so.
Well, so the apple pie mm-hmm. turned into apple pie moonshine. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make an orange pie. There's no reason you can't just make an orange pie moonshine, right?
Because all you do is all you do to make your apple pie moonshine is
apple pie
and blend it up
and puree and put alcohol in.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Right?
Yeah. So once we make this orange
once
pie,
we make the orange pie, we're going to
take it
orange
and,
pie moonshine.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to postulate this, but I don't think it's a good idea. You could just switch out the apple juice and apple flavored or apple juice stuff for orange juice.
Yes.
And like
so the question is what happens. The question is what's the flavoring? Because you use a lot of cinnamon in this.
The orange creamsicle and cloves. Uh-huh. The orange creamsicle recipe moonshine thing that I just found was essentially just that. Minus uh-huh. the cinnamon, minus the cloves, plus some French vanilla.
Uh-huh. Right, okay. Right.
Well, so does it specifically have to be French?
Yes.
Okay.
Just apple juice, huh?
No, it's orange juice.
Or orange juice.
Orange juice.
Sorry, I'm really getting my fruits messed up. Sorry, I've got the fruits deskias right now.
Clint doesn't often compare apples to oranges, so he gets lost. So there's other things beyond all the ones that I listed. There's chutney.
Oh, chutney, yes, I've heard of
chutney. Which is typically, it's like a preserve, except for it has vinegar and spices, typically.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a conserve.
Yes, I've heard of that also. Yes, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is,
which
but I've
may
heard
have
the term.
Spices and liquor, which kind of like a preserve with spices and liquor. And then there's just the confit, which is just the fruit is left whole. It's just whole fruit, no jam, no jelly, no curd,
no
fanciness. Like that.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
just
literally
fruit.
Just fruit. Okay,
And that's it. But I wanted to finish. I got down to.
I feel like fruit spread should be in there too because it's like I've had fruit spreads. I have some fruit spread upstairs. That's like a jelly, but with whole chunks of fruit.
Explain that one.
I think that did fall into one of those categories.
Yeah.
I want to say that was the compost or something.
Compost.
Yes, the compost.
The fruit compost one. You know, that tastes sounds very appetizing.
Let me pull the image back up. Yeah. That was a preserve.
Oh, a preserve. Okay.
Very soft spread, whole chunks of small fruits and chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's
what I would consider.
So I guess it's a preserves.
Yeah,
more or less.
They're all technically spreads,
uh-huh.
aside spreads. From the whole one. I guess. I mean, I guess if you mash it, you spread it.
Yeah, I suppose
it
could be spreadable.
Spread, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
We're learning things.
So we're gonna try to make an orange pie now. It would
be sad to waste the amount of pie crust. If it turns out bad, it would be sad to waste the amount of pie crust required because I love pie crust and it's delicious. It would be sad to waste it on an orange pie that didn't work. However, I am really curious now as to what would happen.
Yeah.
Oh, fruit spreads are like preserves but with no added sugar.
Oh, that's the difference. Okay.
I just asked the internet and they have orange pie recipes. It definitely looks like
pumpkin pie.
It's an orange meringue. they all look like meringues, although okay, that one yeah. does mm-hmm. look like pumpkin pie specifically. Uh-huh. And then there's also...
I like orange stuff, so I am down to try this for yeah, reals.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, this one even like has like orange slices on top. Look at that.
Oh. Oh, well, fancy.
I know
okay.
what we're doing this afternoon.
Yeah. Are we?
Yeah. So I'm. So I guess.
There's Greek orange pie.
I guess, I mean, and it makes sense that you would make the pie with a curd or a meringue or something because yes. that's what you do with other citrus fruits, right? Lemon, yeah. lime, you know, like yeah. when you make those in pies, you do it as like a, you know, as a meringue or a curd or something. So I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, but
let's do it.
But we could scientifically experiment. But we could scientifically experiment and find out what happens if you just put orange slices in a pie, mm-hmm. and
I don't know if I'm gonna do the slices. I think uh-huh. I would peel them first.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
I feel like someone else has already done all this work, and we don't need to suffer.
I mean, I'm fairly certain that the uh-huh. work has been done. I saw them. I saw pictures of them.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, anyways, orange pie. We'll try it sometime. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe this afternoon.
What was the other things? We
shepherd's
had other
pie.
We had other
we were
things.
Talking about shepherd's pie.
We did talk about shepherd's pie, yeah. which does not have a crust.
It does not.
So mm-hmm. we
Oh yeah, that's right, cuz we that was the other
that,
thing.
That's
that
right.
Was the
middle. That's right. There was a bunch of different pies. There's shepherd's pie and uh-huh. other pies, pot pies.
Shepherd's
not all
pie
pies are sweet.
Cottage pie?
Mm-hmm. Cottage pie. Like if someone said, "Hey, do you want to go out and get a pie?" like
yeah, you're getting a pizza.
You're getting a pizza. You're not going out and get a pie. Well, at least here in America.
This uh-huh. content yeah. was better the first time around.
It probably was, yeah. But like,
but because we came about it naturally because we were talking about kolaches.
Yeah. Right now we're just kind of like, you know, recycling for you all, and it's mm-hmm. not as funny.
Well, I mean,
you're welcome.
The orange pie thing was
yeah. No, it was natural. You got to hear the first time around.
So, the other thing that we were going to talk about. Sorry.
yes.
We didn't talk about this one yet.
You stopped me from spoiling content the other day.
I'm sure I did. I'm sure I did.
Yep.
Oh, you had an insurance thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, insurance thing. That's a whole story.
Uh-huh.
That's why I said, yeah. this is content. You could tell me that on the podcast.
Yep, that is true.
So... Dan checking his watch to make sure he has enough time.
Right. Well, I mean, like, it goes back to the whole weekend trip as well, I feel like.
Which weekend trip?
So I went on a float trip this past weekend.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Down on the current river and did 2 nights and 2 days floating on the river.
Yeah.
And so we floated Saturday and Sunday and camped Friday night and Saturday night, or the how that broke down.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday during the day, we came across a rope swing and I jumped off the rope swing and jumped in, and it was good fun. Except that apparently the cold water put my heart into atrial fibrillation.
Which is not ideal.
So since COVID, I've had a heart thing for, you know, past several years.
And if nobody has heard of COVID, it was a disease that swept the globe.
Uh-huh.
And somehow people still deny it, but whatever. Yeah.
So anyways, wound up locked into atrial fibrillation for 48 hours. Where the insurance comes in is I was out floating with my sister and her husband, and she was talking about, you know, copays and blah, 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 and what I had. And
because she
so
works at a
so
doctor's
forth.
Office.
She works at a cardiologist's office. Yeah. So she, yep. yeah, she does things with medicine and insurance and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what my copays were.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, the insurance thing that I got was rather confusing to me, and I didn't quite understand it, and it didn't seem to be doing much of anything. And so anyways, that Monday morning after we got back, I needed to go into her office to see her to figure out what things to do with my heart. And I downloaded the PDF and sent it to her. And apparently, the thing that that the insurance broker sold me was supplemental insurance. So the reason that I felt like it wasn't doing anything
is because
it wasn't doing anything. Because
it was supposed to, you're supposed to have insurance, and then this is supposed to be the extra insurance.
Correct. Yep. So the year and a half ago or whatever, when I called up an insurance broker and said, "Hey, I don't have insurance. I have X amount of money to spend per month. please get me the best insurance that you can get me for this money.
Yeah.
He sold me something completely useless.
Okay. So it would have been better to just not have paid anything.
I would have somewhere in the vicinity of $10,000 sitting in the bank if I had not paid anything.
Yeah.
So I got taken for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not in a fun way.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it blows my mind that somebody would, like, we were talking about this when Dan was telling us the story, and it's like, I can understand selling someone insurance that, like, is more than they need, or whatever, like, you know, like yeah, trying sure. to, because, I mean, people, I mean, insurance places are notorious for attempting to upsell you into various forms of insurance that you don't realistically need, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that I expect. But to sell someone insurance that literally does nothing, yep. that is mind-blowing to me.
Yep. And is fairly expensive insurance.
Yeah, yeah. And not cheap stuff either. Yeah. Like, yep. yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, that is...
crazy. Yep.
That is wild.
So, yeah. Last night, I went over to the sister's house to look at insurance plans. And so, you mm-hmm. know, got all signed up on healthcare.gov and blah, blah, blah to look for an insurance company.
Uh-huh.
And just get quotes.
Yeah.
And I have since gotten 50 bajillion calls and text messages from various numbers.
Right.
Which is essentially the same thing that I did before, and so I'm not doing that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah. if anybody knows a good health insurance broker who's not going to screw me over, you know,
right.
reach out.
Uh-huh.
Oh, jeez.
It's stupid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I have opinions. Mm-hmm. Like,
uh-huh. Yeah,
I don't know how political I want to get.
Well, and apparently I can't even get insurance right now anyways because it's not an open enrollment period.
That is the dumbest thing in the world where uh-huh. It's like you can sign up, specifically at my job, you can sign up twice per year. It's like,
uh-huh.
what sense does that make?
But why?
Why yeah. can't I just sign up for insurance uh-huh. when I start, like if I start, you know, if I say... like, if I had a wife and we were both on her insurance, she loses her job. I'll need insurance,
well,
whether it's January or July.
So there's exceptions. There's like, okay, so if you lost coverage for whatever
okay.
reason, then
all
you
right.
can sign up.
Okay.
If you get divorced, then you can sign up.
Okay.
Uh-huh. If you, you know, whatever. However, where that comes in to be weird is, let's say you get separated and you're headed towards being divorced.
Yeah.
And so your spouse takes you off of their insurance.
Yeah.
You're not divorced.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
And you've lost insurance before you got divorced.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then, like, you don't actually qualify for the divorce because uh-huh. it's not going through.
Yeah.
And then it takes 3 years for you to get... So uh-huh. then you have to wait for November or whatever for the open enrollment period uh-huh. to actually
yeah,
be able to sign up.
Even if you have to wait 1 month, you know, like
it's
1 month without insurance can be bad. You
uh-huh.
know, if something bad happens during that 1 month, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know at my job there's like two, I think it's January and July are the months that you can sign up. And mm-hmm. then if you're a new employee, you can sign up. Those are the only stipulations that I know. Maybe they have divorce stuff as well. But it's still just, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a racket.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that's good that is manipulated to be
bad
about money
uh-huh.
more than
yeah.
anything.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like getting insurance should not be this hard. Like, everybody goes to the doctor, everybody,
yep.
you know,
well,
like...
And, like, the super frustrating thing to me is, as I've been talking with insurance brokers,
mm-hmm.
without fail, what they'll say is, hey, I see you're looking for insurance, can
mm-hmm.
I text you some rates?
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, yeah, sure, go ahead and text me some rates. And they say, okay, well, I need to get some information from you. And
mm-hmm.
so then you give them information. And then they say, hey... can I schedule you for a call? Because, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just too much for a text message.
Uh-huh.
Well, why don't you email it to me? Oh, well, you know, there's just so many options that, you know, I really
uh-huh.
can't just do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And
right.
so then they lock you into, like, you have to call.
Yeah.
And then they, like, in my experience so far, they will not give you numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They will not email you.
Right.
They will not text you numbers.
Uh-huh.
It's all just rattling off numbers on a phone. Hey, does that sound good to you?
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep.
Until you sign up for it.
Uh-huh.
Which is how I got screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
because you didn't put anything in front of me where I could look over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is a bit predatory and abusable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of a, I don't know, at least to me, entertaining. One of the text messages that I got, it didn't have a stop or reply to mm-hmm. stop or whatever.
Yeah.
So guy texted me and I just said stop. And he's like, this is not an automated text. And uh-huh. I was like, whatever, freaking stop. Like,
yeah.
good. Then you can take note as a human to stop.
Yeah.
Screenshotted that one and sent it to my sister.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
She's like, I am so sorry. I'm like, uh-huh. It's fine. It's not your fault. It's yeah. what it is. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I guess this is a horror story of warnings / you know, if anybody has any advice on how to navigate insurance when it's not through your employer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No.
Not fun. But the good news is my heart is no longer an aphid. So that's nice.
Which mm-hmm. I appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah. That does bring us to fit westing.
Oh, no. Nice.
Yeah. Well, so,
first off, can I just throw out, like, maybe we mm-hmm. should think about just starting up our own
insurance company?
Scrub insurance company.
Scrub
insurance company.
I'm sure.
Just throw that out
scrub
there.
Scrub insurance will, you know, it's really easily marketable. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this is scrub insurance. Oh, I don't think I want that.
I think you do, cheap. Though.
It says cheap.
Are you a scrub? Our insurance is for you. Anyway.
Sorry.
So with FitWest, obviously it started. It started today.
Today of recording.
Today of recording.
Yeah.
I'll get this out as soon as I can, which, you know, which might be 2 weeks from now.
So, yeah, started today with scrub with us recording, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not going to be doing, there's not going to be a Beat Dan challenge
mm-hmm.
Because I, with recent more issues with heart things, am on different meds that are affecting me differently, and it's causing problems for some exercising.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I won't be putting up great numbers, and that would be too many stuffs for us to buy. So we're going to mm-hmm. figure something out. We have not yet decided what that something is.
Mm-hmm.
There
will be some sort of reward for high performance, yeah. But we
maybe
have not
have
decided
to beat the
what
Houstles it is. Combined, if we can get, it might be super easy to do if Clint still refuses to put his numbers in. you know, we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Who indeed. Knows? Indeed.
We did go biking yesterday.
Yeah, we did waste some potential FitWest numbers on a bike ride yesterday. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm saddle sore.
I am a little bit. I have my butt hurts a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Uh huh.
My knees yesterday were like, you haven't done this going up the stairs. I'm gonna let you know that you have not done this in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But this morning it was just like, you know, just sitting down. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, it's tender,
tender back there,
tender.
I did not go on this bike ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was actually wondering if you were going to go this morning.
No, I worked out this morning. I think bike riding is probably a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way things are for me right now, when I stand up or, like, kneel down and then stand up or bend over and then stand up, I almost pass out. And so I feel like being on a bike is probably not the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you threatened to go on a bike with us, and that got us to get our bikes in tune.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I would have enjoyed going on a bike ride, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe unless I'd passed out, that would not have been fun.
No, that would not. I wouldn't enjoy that bike ride either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Flat tire was is about the drama I'm looking for on a bike ride. Nothing much more than that.
Yeah.
I didn't want that.
Every once in a while, I go down to Washington, Missouri to have dinner with my dad, and I passed by that bike shop that you and I went to get
okay.
Oh, yeah, the one that you guys got the emergency tire for on that one trip. Okay, yeah.
I don't even want to deal with a flat tire on a trip. That would suck.
No, that's like my upper level.
Yeah.
Upper limit.
Drama. Yeah. I don't even want to deal
cap
with that.
Of drama. Like,
Clint has a lower upper limit.
A lower upper limit, yeah.
But yes, so join us in FitWesting. yeah, you aren't specifically trying to beat Dan this year, but you are still trying to...
post high numbers.
Yeah, you're still trying to get numbers because there's a prize of dubious value on the line. Yeah. There's a guest spot on the podcast. It'll be, as per the usual in the past years, it'll be randomly drawn, but...
I love how we still, like, you look down and it's the list from the last time we did this. Yes, like, the piece clean up.
The piece of paper from April's FitWest is still sitting right here.
Is that a hat?
This is a hat?
That is a hat.
There's a hat on the table as well.
Okay. I don't know.
It's not mine.
It's not mine.
I think it might be mine.
Maybe.
One presumes since it's in your house.
I mean, probably most of the stuff down here is yours.
It's definitely mine.
Oh, okay. Well...
I need to get new batteries for that, I think. I would think so. The switch is in the back.
Okay.
Well, you could have been using a hat with lights all this time.
I have used it for camping, which is why it's down here.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so for the random drawing...
It still works.
Matt just blinded himself.
I didn't know that the lights were... I was just messing this with the switch, and I didn't know that the lights had, like, shifted to be pointing directly at my eyeballs when I did that. I was like, do-do-do-do-do. Ah! They are plenty bright. You're probably good on a battery for it.
Cool, thanks.
Anyway, we will do a drawing, and in order to get entries into the drawing for the prize of dubious value, you have to get you have to do a minimum of 900 minutes total, which is 30 minutes a day, I believe. That's the minimum to get one entry, and then you get a second entry at 1450 and a third entry at 2100. Yep. Mm-hmm. So if that motivates you in any way, you know, you can count up to those numbers. Otherwise, join us in encouraging each other to reach our personal goals,
with
at least.
Thumbs up, kudos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, if you've participated, you already know this. But if you haven't, I mean, just count the stuff that you do, like, that you do to be active outside of, like, work. You know, it's like if you want to, like, if you walk your dog, if you, you know...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's probably something a little more than just walking to the mailbox, but, you know, I was going to use that as an example, but I was like, that's really short. Uh-huh. Be like, 30 seconds today.
Yeah.
Hey, you know?
Maybe if you have a really long driveway, maybe you could squeeze, you know, a couple, 2-3 minutes out of that, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you, like, take, like, 7 trips to the mailbox and grab one piece of mail at a time. You go down there and grab one piece of mail, take it all the way back to the house, put it on the kitchen table, and walk all the way back down to the
mailbox. That would totally count. Yeah, I would
count that for you.
Yes, absolutely. I would allow that to count. Yeah. So, yes, our parameters have been you can record any activity outside of work, basically, you know, we would be fairly generous in terms of what activities count, you know, as exercise, like, you know, anything that, you know, uses lots of muscles, you know, gets your heart rate going,
if you
whatever.
Painted your bedrooms and stuff like that. That's enough of a workout. Like, I mean, Daniel's son did it in Karate Kid. I mean, it's a workout. If you wax on, you wax off for several hours. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah. I think that counts. Yeah. So anything like that, as long as it's not, you know, work related, and that's our attempt to, you know, nudge it towards basically the spirit of the challenge being that you're doing something outside of your normal routine. That's not, you know, not something you would do, every
just
day.
Encouraging you to get a little bit fit, you know, like burn calories, get your heart pumping, any, you know, just to get a little bit of exercise in, be healthy.
And all of those things. So yes, in order to participate in the challenge, you do need to be in our Discord. And so, you know, if you haven't done it before and you want to join, there should be a link on this episode to get into the Discord. And then there are two channels. One is the general Fit with Scrub discussion where people discuss fitness related things, and then the other
Post pictures of their
and post pictures sometimes.
Post pictures of their hiking or their biking
or the pictures that they take.
I mean,
On their walk.
If you want to social media us of your videos of you pumping iron, do it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So we will critique your form badly.
Yes,
Brody Rules used to post.
That looks great. I don't care that you're winking your butt. Looks great.
Birdie Rules used to post pictures of like the California shoreline and stuff
and graffiti and murals and now he's posting pictures of mushrooms.
Yeah, he has since moved to away from the shore, closer to the center of the U.S. So has varied it up. It is now a mushroom this time.
So it was a very big mushroom.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Impressive, very impressive indeed. Mushroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so the second channel that's in the Discord is the it's called Fit with Scrub Activity Reporting, and that channel is specifically for recording activity. In order to keep it clean for those of us who have to go back and look through it eventually, please try to keep that to basically just the minutes reporting, and you know, have other discussion. That's why there's a second channel. The Fit West Scrub is for like open discussion, and the reporting activity reporting channel is specifically for reporting numbers so that we can go back and, you know, track the numbers.
If you
want to
support
stuff.
People, just like throw a thumbs up emoji or something like
that. Right. We converse in that channel with emojis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. React that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I appreciate that we do this each year. I enjoy it.
Yeah. I have fun with it.
Sadly, we're going to miss that, Spartan race that we were going to go to here in October, Emily and I are going to be in Florida,
and the others of you have other things going on.
It's like I broke my foot, Dan broke his heart.
Emily and I are going to be on a beach. So none of us are participating.
I texted John and Anna the other day and said, "Hey man,
hey, we're old people now. We fall apart."
So, but looking forward to the next Spartan race, we will let anyone who is of interest, we'll let you all know, and then anyone who's interested, let us know. If you're interested, you know. But we'll have to start looking for the next one that we want to
get signed
up for.
Or we could do it the other way, be like, hey,
if you're going to Spartan race, let us know.
I'm not even saying Spartan race, just you're going to do a race and you want to have us come out and hang out.
I will go run
just
a race.
Just let us know.
In other cities.
Yeah.
Oh, so...
my heart participates.
Yeah, I understand.
I would figure it out.
I would appreciate your heart participating, because if it didn't, that would be weird to see you running around without your heart.
I don't think it would work well.
So I went to Birmingham this last weekend, and Andrew's wife, Holly, she did a 5K run, and about 2.5K of it is in a cavern.
Neat.
And I was
would like to do that.
Yeah, she invited me the week before. She was like, oh, you're coming down that weekend. Would you? I know it's short notice, but would you like me to sign you up for that? I was like, that sounds awesome. My foot's broke. I was like, well, it's not broke now, but it was like, I just got out of a cast a few days ago, so I probably shouldn't be running, but that sounds awesome.
That sounds really cool. Well, Holly, I'm sure you don't listen to this podcast, but, you know, if somebody who does talks to you, I would like to do that.
Yeah. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Holly.
So while I was down there, Stephen was like, yeah, you guys should, you know, the rest of the folks should come down sometime. And I was like, you know, a good way to get us to come down would be able to do that, you know, go for the run inside of a cave and do that, because that sounds awesome.
That sounds really cool.
She showed me a few pics, and I was like, yeah, that looks cool.
Speaking of caves.
Oh.
Okay.
I did not see this going.
We didn't see caves starting a transition, but all right.
Transition.
So we, on this float trip, found a cave just off the current river that you can paddle a canoe into.
Cool.
And it is called Devil's Well. And apparently...
They give you heart conditions in Devil's Well.
This was before.
Oh, okay.
I got a heart. I got the AFib before Devil's Well.
Darn.
Anyway, so
well, we can't. Now we don't know.
Now
where
we can't
the curse
attribute it to supernatural
from.
Effects.
Right. Devil's Well is a spring that comes up out of the ground, as it turns out. That actually, like. So you go into this cave, and the, at least for where the water level was for us, the floor initially was like 3 or 4 feet down, the bottom of this cave. And then you hit a space where the bottom just drops out.
Okay.
And it's like a 10 to 15 foot little diameter of a well. That shoots straight down, apparently into an entirely underground lake.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Just goes I don't know how far down, but it looked forever down.
Uh-huh.
Did they ever tell you why it was called Devil's Well?
Because the devils.
Because the well. Because there's a well underground. Come on, Matt.
And devils.
I mean, hell is underground, right? So it stands to reason that a well underground is the, you know.
I guess if we're taking our theology
well.
From Dante Alighieri, yeah, hell's underground. Yeah, sure. I say that as if I've read
Dante's Inferno.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know more about it and what has come out of it than.
Yeah, I've never actually read it. My sister, I believe, has read it in Italian.
Oh.
Because she speaks, she learned Italian in college, and so, like, I think she's actually read the Inferno in
Italian. So it's a vertical
Italian.
Drop of approximately 100 feet.
Okay.
Ooh. And some brothers at some point in time used a steel cable and found that the lake underneath is approximately 400 feet long and 100 feet wide.
So they did they steal cable and then put it in there, or I assume they used the cable length to figure out how long it was, but that's
oh wait, so using a bosun's chair attached by a steel cable to a hand winch.
Yeah,
that
so you crank
sketchy.
It.
Sketchy.
Uh-huh.
That sounds so sketchy. Wow. Uh-huh. Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, that's
yeah.
So, anyways, we found that.
Not for me.
That was really cool.
Uh huh.
Yeah. It was very neat.
But yeah, I was like, well, then we could actually get a group trip down to Birmingham and then do a run in a cave because that looks cool. It's just a 5K, so
yeah.
I was like, that sounds really cool. And we could get, I'm sure we could convince people to come down for that. I definitely want to do that sometime.
Mm-hmm.
How about next year?
Yeah. presumably my foot will be well enough and hopefully your heart will be well enough.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we talk about kolaches?
Kolaches are good, or whatever you call them. Kolaches,
yeah,
Runza, Pirox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I actually am curious if anybody else, so, you know, people who are in our Discord or whatever can weigh in, or on Facebook or, you know, whatever.
We do still have a Facebook.
I have forgotten to post the last few episodes, but technically we do still have a Facebook.
We're so good at this.
I just don't social media very much, so it just. I forget. None of us are set up for this upcoming world.
No. This world that we're shifting into, none of us are prepared for this at all.
I could if I cared, but I don't.
I don't care.
It wasn't
to
dig at you whatsoever.
Yeah,
it's just we as a whole.
Yep. Uh-huh. We're so bad at this.
We're so bad at this.
Yeah.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
These kids these days, they're on social medias.
Kolaches. So in St. Louis and in many other places, there's this place called the Kolache Factory, which I had never seen until I moved to St. Louis. But I guess it must be around because it originated in Texas. But there's this place called the Kolache Factory. And so I had a pre-established like idea of what a kolache or was. And it came from my friend whose family is Polish. And they make something that they call kolaches, which is a cookie. And so Clint and I went to Kolache Factory one day, like, you know, to see what it's all about. And I was like expecting cookies because to me, that's what it was. And then I go into the Kolache Factory and it's like, oh, no, this is like a bread thing.
It is a baked good.
It is a baked good. Yeah.
With an ingredient inside.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It is. Yeah, and a baked dough ball, and then you stuff it full of some ingredient, either sweet things or savory things, and then it's wrapped closed and folded.
Well, no, only the savory ones were wrapped. What we saw was the sweet ones were more like a Danish, where it was like a divot in the middle, and then the savory ones were actually a wrapped ball around. And the savory with the wrapped ball around, that is what I grew up knowing as a runza. And we also have learned in a couple years ago that it's also called a birok in some places as opposed to a runza. But like the idea of like bread, you know, enriched dough wrapped around, you know, savory fillings.
Yeah.
They're like, that's what like, so to me, that is called something completely different. And so we were trying to look up like, okay, what's going on here? Why, why is this different? And apparently it's just like people from different areas of Eastern Europe calling things slightly different things.
So, because like I knew it being a Polak myself, I knew kolaches to be more of the sweet. Like it was kind of essentially
for him
a donut.
it was like the kolache factory, but for him it was a sweet thing.
It was all sweet stuff. It was basically the equivalent of a donut, where you know it's like you have enriched, you know, like you said, enriched flour baked, and then you put some like you either put it's like a strawberry marmalade or whatever confection you want to put on top of it, and that's what I always knew it as. So because like whenever somebody got kolaches. It was always that. It was some variant, and you know, it's like you might have strawberry ones, you might have this, you know, different flavors, but they were always, and it was also viewed as either like a dessert or like a breakfast dessert,
right?
You know,
right.
like a donut, but
yeah, or a Danish or something like that.
So when I went to the kolache factory for the first time and there was just all these savory options as well, I was like, this is weird. I'm not used to this kind of kolache. But, so something that, you know, in this conversation earlier, we looked it up. Apparently, like a kolache is just a Czech for pie, you know? So it's like, okay, well, that makes sense then, because pies mean a myriad of things, you know. It's like, because you know, it's like shepherd's pie is a pie without crust, and then if you just say, hey, let's go get a pie, we're talking somebody in America, at least people are typically meaning pizza. I wouldn't say that. I would say let's get pizza, but I've heard the phrase, hey, would you like to get a pie, and they mean a pizza. They at no point do they mean, hey, would you like to go get a pumpkin pie? Or would you like to get a French silk pie? You know,
just go down to the pie shop and each get a, get a slice of cobbler.
Yeah, just, no. I'm going to go get an apple
Which
pie.
Which isn't really a thing around here so much.
Like I have been to a actual just pie shop, but it was in Rolla, Missouri.
Yes, there's, I think there's the only some around. There's not very,
to
one.
So
it's not very popular around
typically,
here.
Typically, pie shops are part of diners.
Right. Yeah. This place just purely does pies.
Yeah. It's like you have to go to a bakery or a diner. I don't think I've ever been specifically to just pie only shops, you know? Mm-hmm. And,
I don't know that I have that.
But like there's Gingham's, which is pretty close to where I live. They have, you know, like in the front display, when you come up, you could, you know, go to the diner portion and eat, and you could order a pie from the pie section
window.
You could just walk up and be like, hey, I would like a pie, and leave.
Uh-huh. But yeah, it seems like what happened is this one root word just got kind of or applied to all these very various different kinds of foods.
And that's kind of how I took it. It was just like, just like pie is stretched to mean a ton of different things, you know? Uh-huh. It's like, because you can't just be like, well, pies are sweet things. It's like, well, I mean, you have a chicken pot pie or turkey pot pie and then a shepherd's pie, you know.
Totally different.
It is like, even when you're talking about, you know, a savory pie, you still have like a shepherd's pie or a cottage pie where, you know, there's no breading at all. It's just potato and a meat, you know. Uh-huh. It is like, and then those are the bare minimum requirements. You could throw, you know, vegetables in if you want, but as long as you have those two things, you basically got your pie. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it was just a word that, you know, when it came over to America, just kept getting stretched, you know, kneaded and spread out to mean different things.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was kind of like disappointed in the sense that like I went into the kolache factory thinking I wanted a cookie. And, you know, what I ended up with instead was like a Danish. But, you know, it's fine. Like, it was still good. But
we got a couple of runza as well.
Yeah.
We got a couple of runza and a Danish that were all called kolaches.
Yeah. And I was like, that was delicious, but it didn't fulfill my emotional need for a cookie.
Whereas growing up, whenever in my Polish family, whenever we would make whenever we'd make cookies, they'd be kruszciki's, you know, which was just essentially a flat cookie with powdered sugar on it. I'm sure that there's even variants among that, you know, but And I have a vague memory of us making other kinds of cookies. I don't know if they were under the umbrella of Krustiki, but the only ones that I remember were those. And I feel like they were always overcooked. They always felt harder than they should have been.
They probably were. They were probably just put in too long.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Cooked until they're brown and then pulled out or left on the baking sheet kind of thing.
I think your family
like,
is bad at baking.
I mean, maybe that's the thing.
It could be.
They could be just really temperamental
It could be
cookies.
The design. Well, it also could be the design. It could be designed to be that way.
Yeah,
like, there are cookies that are designed to have higher sugar content and therefore be
those
crunchier.
Are called biscuits, I believe.
But, I mean,
I think any cookies are biscuits.
But a lot of Polish cuisine was just baking stuff. Like, it was meat and cabbage. Baked.
Right.
And then,
yeah, like cabbage rolls and all that stuff.
Yeah, and like pierogies, which is bare minimum ingredients was, you know, potato inside of a potato dumpling, essentially. Mm-hmm. And like you could cook that in any really way you wanted to, but it would be baked. I fried them.
Yeah.
I like fried.
Pierogi.
Pierogi. I think there may not be an E. I don't remember.
There is an E. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like those. I have some in my freezer right now, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's but like the cabbage with meat inside of it was always offensive to me because I didn't like cabbage.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But so that's sad. That's sad. He's like, so when we made Runza, actually, before we went to the kolache factory, we made some Runza or Biroks or kolaches or whatever you want to call them. So we actually have a recipe that was from her family in the booklet. It was called Runza.
Yeah.
I came across some YouTube video and was like, oh, hey, look at these. We should make these sometime. And they were called Biroks. And she was like, no, those are Runza.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we made this.
So that's like, what brought the conversation to us.
The recipe for that is basically like cabbage and beef and
the
then
filling,
we ended up like putting some other vegetables in there and cheese, but like we made it for the kids too, and we just put beef and cheese.
You
and
guys
was like,
have children now?
No.
Oh,
okay. Made it for my nephew.
Niece and nephew,
When
my
did
niece.
You get kids?
It's like, I don't remember. How did I miss them?
Don't remember you getting kids? Growing them in secret.
We just meant, by the kids, we meant the kids that were in proximity to us at the time that we made them.
The random kids that I can't hang out with every now and then. It's neighborhood kids.
Yeah.
Hey, made some food. Take this.
Would you like some cabbage, kids?
Well, I mean, the kid next door does like to interact through the mail slot, so we could just chuck him chuck him through
cabbage
the mail slot.
Food ball.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I think the like cabbage and beef is great. Like, it's delicious, and then but like, and then we had cheese in there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we made it for the kids. We just put beef and cheese and was like, it's like a cheeseburger, and they were like, they actually really liked it. So, but you can make it with all different kinds of things. I was actually just thinking, I was like, man, you could just do like beef and broccoli and cheese inside of a bready thing. Oh man, they're so good. So good. And inside of an enriched dough, that's that is a very important part of it, like the enriched dough part, because it's
It's not just normal bread. It is bread that has egg in it.
Okay.
And so it's richer and sweeter.
So
and
if I take a piece, two pieces of bread and crack an egg on each one and put stuff in there and smash that together and bake it for a little bit, that's the same thing?
I mean, maybe.
It sounds like you're on the path to French toast. But...
Stuffed French toast.
Stuffed French toast.
You know what?
Yeah, it's Western European as opposed to Eastern European.
Let's take another step to that. Make sure the stuffing that you put in there is sausage, and then pour some syrup in there, and then mush it all together and throw that in there.
When I was in Birmingham,
throw it in a deep fryer.
I had Waffle House for the first time since 2016.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, it hit the spot.
I don't think I've ever been to a Waffle House.
But it's been a while.
I mean, if you can make toast and eggs and your own, you know.
Clint enjoys making breakfast
at
home.
I've been to Denny's out in the middle of nowhere, you know, you know, trucker stop Denny's that are the only.
So take
Denny's.
It down just one notch, then.
Right? Exactly.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah,
but just take
like,
it down one
it.
Notch.
I get the vibe.
This was also the most staffed Waffle House that I've ever been in, because typically when I've gone to a Waffle House, it's like one one to or three people yeah. working. This was probably about six or seven. And like, it was also clean. It was mm-hmm. weird. It was weird.
Yeah. I feel like you've been to a Waffle House.
Yeah, I know. It was like, because the one in 2016 was definitely that way. But uh-huh. this one was just like, I was like, hey, but it was fun. It was an interesting experience that I haven't, you know, because it's super easy just to take two eggs and crack them and scramble uh-huh. them and pour some cheese in there. And then,
yeah. The only interesting thing going on in a Waffle House, to my mind, is the waffles, which, yeah. you know, yeah. we don't have a waffle maker. So, like,
I do.
Well, you have they're not somewhat like great unique waffles.
Really?
No.
Why is it called Waffle House if they ain't got good waffles?
It's called Waffle House because, you know,
they make waffles. Kind
of, well, make waffles, yeah. If you want it better, you got to find the one that Matt went to. If you want Waffle Condo, you got to go there.
No, they, I mean,
if you want Waffle Apartment, I mean,
it was Waffle House grade food, you know. Uh-huh. But it just was clean. It was bright. There was people working there that mm-hmm. didn't look like they were like smoking and dropping ashes so,
yeah,
on your
yeah,
food.
Yeah, it's Waffle Condo, not Waffle House.
But it was interesting. But yeah, it's not something like I recommend. It's like.
I enjoy Waffle House periodically.
I mean,
I ain't never did it.
How often do you go, though?
Ain't not never been.
Well, it's like, how often do you go versus how many times you enjoy Waffle House?
I have gone to Waffle House probably, I want to say, four or five times in the last 2 years.
Okay. I have.
How many times did you enjoy that, though?
Probably three.
Okay. All right. Like, it's not great, but it's not. It's a you okay. It's 5 out of 5 stars for what you're shooting for.
I mean,
you know?
Like, except for the times that you wind up sick, which does happen.
So that doesn't happen to me, but that's also because I've gone twice in the last
right.
2 decades.
No, I mean, when you go more than you yeah. know twice yeah. in 2 decades, you run a risk.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
do. There are some risks involved. Yeah,
you are.
I mean, maybe it's kind of also my own fault because I do order eggs over easy. So like, maybe that's on me, but.
Yeah. Oh, well, sure. Yeah, you yeah. probably shouldn't
and they're
do that
gross
at a Waffle
way.
House. Yeah.
So
you're gross that way.
Probably. If you cook me, fully cook me. it's like, I don't want me runny. I don't know. I never really cared for the runny egg.
I don't either. I don't
yeah,
go
like,
for that. No.
Give me over hard mm-hmm. or scramble or whatever.
Yep, same. Huh.
I'll eat any kind of egg.
My egg should not bleed.
I don't like super, super runny, but I do like a little bit of gooiness.
I like the yolk to be runny.
A little bit of egg sauce
yeah,
in there.
You like to barely cook yours at all. And it's just like, yeah.
What's wild about that
is... I just have to make sure the white's all cooked.
Yeah. Is that eggs take so little time to cook that I can't imagine cooking and actually trying to cook and keep it gel in the center. Because I'm like... Like, if you look away, if you step away for a half second, your egg becomes fully cooked.
Yeah. It's quick.
Like, it does not take long.
Uh-huh.
Which is, I understand.
It takes skills. Egg making. Yeah. Egg making skills.
I've seen some wild stuff, like Japanese cooks making some awesome looking stuff.
Yes.
Like out of an omelet where they, like, take two chopsticks and twist it, and yep. now it looks kind of like a flower, and it's like, that's freaking awesome, well done.
Uh-huh. Or the really, really, really like runny, soupy again, this is something that like I wouldn't eat because it looks great, it looks too runny, but they kind of make like really runny scrambled eggs and like put it on top of something and then slice it open and then it kind of unfolds on top of something, but it's really runny.
I was gonna mm-hmm. bring that up. It's like a runny omelet.
Runny omelet, yeah. Yeah.
And it's all contained and they throw it on a little like a ball of rice mm-hmm. and just plop it on top and then they run like a knife or something mm-hmm. over it and it splits and looks awesome. I wouldn't
looks
eat
cool.
it because
yeah.
it's gooey, but
yeah. yeah. It looks, it's a little, that's not quite cooked enough for me, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They are masters of the art.
Indeed.
So how are we doing on time?
Well,
we
you know,
rambled
well,
about
oh, we've rambled
a lot
about
of nothing.
We're, you know, an hour-ish in. Probably.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So my headache
like
has gone away.
I mean, the main thing is come fit West with us.
To do with alcohol. Yeah. I don't
Maybe.
Know.
That was the main thing, is come fit West with us.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes. The moral of the story is come fit West with us for the month of October.
We'll get back to you sometime soon with another episode to
talk about.
Yeah.
Maybe
talk
before
about,
the end
about
of
things.
October.
Yeah. Probably. Maybe, probably.
Also, let us know what you think kolache means. If you uh-huh. were raised a particular way, uh-huh. and let us know what kolache means to you in your heart. What does kolache mean to you?
Or your native tongue.
get back to us about kolaches. Let us know about insurance salespeople that are not the devil. And FitWest.
Excellent summary. All right.
Y'all have a lot of responsibility. You should get back to us.
Quickly. Soon as Clint gets us out in 2 weeks.
Well, I'll be gone for a whole week here, a few weeks, maybe three weeks.
So, unlike last time, should do it before.
Last time it was like, hey, we
got to record a podcast.
Yeah, we recorded it, and I was like, "Hey, did we release the podcast?" And they're like, "No, we've left Kerouac for Colorado."
You say, "Hey, before you guys leave for the airport, you should get that episode out." I'm like, "Too late." Yeah.
We're sitting in the airport. About to board the flight. Before you head to the airport, you should probably too late, buddy.
I knew you were leaving soon. I didn't know because it was Thursday, and I didn't know if you were leaving Friday or Thursday. And I was like, I'll just text them, give them a poke, and then it was like, about that.
It's gonna be a while. And then we got back, and then I forgot about it because it had been a week
since we had recorded.
And then we were like, maybe we should record an episode. And then we were like, wait, hold on, we already have one recorded. Sorry about that.
We're so good at this.
Yes,
we are.
Well, can we talk about giving back to our community?
We don't know what we haven't really
fleshed it out,
but yes, we can.
Yeah, so I think we decided this last week that we are definitely going to do a Midwest Scrub Down 3.
Mm-hmm.
So get back to us on how I can make this name goofy as well. Because Empire Scrubs
Your
Back.
Three ideas, yeah.
Yeah. Midwest Scrub Down 2, The Empire Scrubs Your Back was an awesome name.
It's great, yep.
So if we could think of something for Return of the Jedi or any pun that's good.
I've got mine. I've got mine, but.
Figure something out. I mean, you could tell me off air.
Yes, I will. I will.
Okay, very good. Very good. All right. Is that everything?
Yeah, I guess so.
There will be a store champs in December.
Oh, yes, right.
Announcements.
I don't have final details, but I do have a final date.
Announcements.
That there's going to be a store championship at the main, like, Manchester location of Miniature Market in St. Louis. So, trying to get 16 people, of course, for the whole, I feel like we can do this,
we can do that. I saw somebody post on Nick's server the other day where it's just like, hey, I don't want to be this guy, but could some of y'all show up so we can guarantee an invite? Because we're having trouble making 16.
Yeah. So I believe with the size of the St. Louis community that we can do it. But hey, if anyone wants to come and try to snipe the world's invite from us, you're welcome to try. That's going to be on December 2nd?
Whatever the
first Saturday of December is. I've already forgotten how dates work. Where's my calendar? I'm blind. Okay. November, December. Here we go. December 2nd. Yes. Saturday, December 2nd. It's going to be, just an all one day as far as I know at this point. So it's going to be a long day. That's going to happen. So I will probably have signups relatively soon. And y'all can start planning for that. So, yeah. Store champ.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I love you all. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Hello, bye, y'all.
Excuse me. Lisa back.
Are you brainless?
No, not really, no.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent. Don't do that again. Many Gungans will be killed.
Lucifer is well seen.